Bishop Athanasius Schneider warns against cooperating with evil as a new paganism rises. As the Synod on Homosynodality kicks off in Rome, Francis says Catholics can in good conscience vote for Kamala Harris? Meanwhile, a leak from a source close to Donald Trump could blow the election wide open, especially after Melania Trump offered full-throated support of abortion this week, just 1 month out from the election. And finally, a courageous FBI whistleblower puts America on notice. This is a holy war now.
Pray the rosary, go to the First Friday devotions.
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Mann. This is The Remnant Underground. Well, lots going on with the presidential race. We'll talk about it one more time tonight because we have... First of all, before we even get started, I want to say again, I am not in any sense, any way, shape, or form trying to tell you how to vote. You're adults in this audience. How you vote is between you, your conscience, your spouse, your God, not me. It's none of my business. It's just never going to be. And how I vote is really none of your business. So we're not talking so much about November anymore, are we? There are big things happening. I think you all know what I'm talking about. Big things that have to do with the future of a political pro-life, pro-family force in this country. I'm talking about years down the line.
For the first time in 40 years, the Republican platform does not call for a federal abortion ban. It no longer defines marriage as between one man and one woman, but it doesn't. So is this a sign that your father is moving to the center in some ways or on some issues?
Yes, I think he's always been there on those issues, to tell you the truth. And I think that's reflective of who my father is and what he believes in. And I think that's reflective of my wife, Laura, who runs the RNC and clearly what she believes in. And I'm proud of the party.
So in a few moments, I'm going to share a leak that comes directly from inside the Trump camp. Not the best news in a way, but in a way it offers a lot of clarity that I think everybody, no matter how you intend to vote, will appreciate the clarity that it provides. But before we get to that, Pope Francis actually gave the green light to voting for Kamala Harris. He did it in a very Jesuitical and crafty way, but that's the way he works. He is, after all, a Jesuit. So our debate, the one that we've been having here down in the underground for, a couple of months now, that's over Trump, over the GOP compromise on abortion and life and family, gay marriage and all the rest, that has been raging for a couple of months, but every single one of us, no matter what you think of my position on all that, you think I'm paranoid or I'm overly cautious or whatever you think, we all agree without any hesitation at all that not one of us, no serious Christian, certainly no Catholic, can vote for the Harris-Walls ticket. I mean, that's just a given, period, paragraph, end of book, right? There's no way any of us were ever debating whether or not we could vote for Kamala Harris, for Pete's sakes. It's a joke. So our debate over the lesser of two evils that we've been having always took it for granted that in this audience, the greatest evil of all, hands down, is Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in his political cycle, right? Now, as you know, I don't believe in this lesser of two evils argument. I don't think it applies in this case, especially not after the Republicans removed all references to marriage between one man and one woman, to the pro-life marriage, the language about God. When they removed all that from the GOP platform, I think we have to discuss something else besides lesser of two evils, and that's what we've been debating. But of course, a vote for pro-abort, Marxist, lunatic Kamala was always out of the question. You know, in my opinion, actually, it would be a mortal sin to vote for this creature, right? So bad is she, quite frankly. So every Catholic, every serious Catholic, accepted that. Well, you can't vote for Harris, obviously. Well, at least they did accept it, right up until the point when Pope Francis, scooting along on his airplane, came along with this whopper.
Ambedue sono contro la vita, sia quello che butta via i migranti, sia quello che uccide i bambini. Ambedue sono contro la vita. Si deve votare e si deve scegliere il male minore. Chi è il male minore? Quella signora o quel signore? Non so, ognuno in coscienza pensi e faccia questo.
the world's most recognized moral authority said, A, you must vote, right? B, in this case, in the United States election, the lesser of two evils allows you to vote for either candidate in good conscience. That's what he said. And C, says the Holy Father, I don't know which candidate is actually the lesser of two evils. That's up to you. Incredible. Think about that. In other words, a good Catholic, according to the Holy Father, can certainly vote under the lesser of two evils provision for Kamala Harris, right? If you see abortion as a lesser evil than trying to do something about the open borders in this country, well, says Pope Francis, that's the lesser of two evils, so vote for Harris. Again, it's very Jesuitical, but that's what he's saying. And then, you know, when it comes right down to it, friends, Francis is a bag of tricks, isn't he? Because it's not only what he says, oftentimes, that is the massive problem. It's what he's not saying. It's what he's not saying. Well, we're all, our world is going to hell in a handbasket. World wars all over the place. Millions of aborted babies. Kids getting castrated. And he's over there going, well, you know what? Women deacons. Maybe we'll get some women deacons in here. Maybe we'll, I don't know, empower women. And I'm talking about this synod nonsense. What is he talking about? People in the real world are losing their houses, losing their jobs, losing their kids, losing their private parts, their kids anyway, to this system, this evil system. And he's like, women deacons, sounds like, maybe. It's like they're intentionally being irrelevant, right? So this week we got this synod on synodality, which I call the synod on homosynodality for obvious reasons. So this kicks off over there in the Vatican. And this, to me, in my opinion, this is where the world's uncontested moral and spiritual heavyweights get together to prove something that everybody already suspects, and that is how totally irrelevant they've become.
This week began the final act of the multi-year synod process, a meeting of bishops and the Pope that began back in 2015. An initiative of Pope Francis, the synods were billed as a kind of Vatican III and hailed by progressives as a chance to redefine church practice and teaching. But it really hasn't accomplished much or anything.
Nobody cares what they're doing, except for them. Nobody knows why they're meeting again to finalize this stupid synod. Nobody knows what a synod even means anymore, because they're actually apologizing for sins against synodality. The cardinals are standing up there and groveling, apologizing as if the world is even paying attention, apologizing for whatever they've done to offend synodality. Is that the new God? I don't know. The God, the great God, the great thumb God, the great flashlight God, the God of synodality. I don't know. They're just making stuff up now. You know, nobody knows why this is even happening. They're just doing it. Because why? Because, well, Francis says it's a good thing and we got to do that because the God of surprises wants us to do. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Mad Hatter and his tea party.
And we need to get on to the Frabjous Day.
Frabjous Day!
I'm investigating things that begin with the letter M. Why a raven is like a writing desk.
And it's not just rad trads who are seeing this and who are asking questions like, what the heck is going on? It's not just rad trads. A lot of people are really sick and tired. And this is the good news, always. The fatigue factor, the Francis fatigue factor, the globalism fatigue factor is always good. And right now, you got some pretty powerful people in the media who are sick to death of Francis and his friends and their theological finger painting.
Why go through this theatrical parliamentary exercise at all? Especially when the Pope will do as he pleases anyhow.
This is nonsense. This is not the truth.
Cardinal Christoph Schönborn of Austria asked forgiveness in the name of all the baptized for sins against synodality and listening.
No, this is, I'll say it quite quick. This is a ridiculous and contemptible idea.
Without authority, without proper authority from God, what is the church other than a debating society?
Again, it sounds like it could have come from a UN website or something.
Really, synodality now is a completely vague term. We don't know what it means.
But the posse, you know, they didn't bring up the big thing that's so important to the Synod on Homosynodality, and that, of course, is climate change. But there's one little problem that I have there, and that's that I take climate change warnings coming from the Pope about as seriously as I took climate change warnings back when I was in the second grade 40 years ago, when Mr. Spock was warning us about that.
What scientists are telling us now is that the threat of an ice age is not as remote as they once thought. During the lifetime of our grandchildren, Arctic cold and perpetual snow could turn most of the inhabitable portions of our planet into a polar desert.
I remember hearing this stuff when I was in grade school. The coming ice age. Follow the science. And there's Francis up there leading the charge on climate change. He and Greta. It's just, anyway, enough of that. This really reminds me, because we have a new t-shirt that answers all of this. Here's the t-shirt. I hope you'll pick one up. I don't know how much it is. I don't even care. You got to get this. This is at the Remnant newspaper website right now. Okay, so the shop. Yeah, check shop. Here we go. I don't care, which I like. Okay, and one of the things, not sure which one it is, we have climate change. It's number one. I don't care, Your Holiness, about climate change. Oh, and look at that. Well, look at that. I also don't care about a woman's right to choose either, Melania Trump.
Without a doubt, there is no room for compromise when it comes to this essential right that all women possess from birth, individual freedom. What does my body, my choice really mean?
There we go, Melania the Catholic, once again proving the success of the Second Vatican Council throughout the whole world. Melania Trump, a post-conciliar Catholic, has declared her support for abortion in any circumstances, including now late-term abortion. This is in the new memoir. She advocates that abortion be normalized and that America work to remove the stigma from killing babies, so says Melania Trump. I don't know what else it's going to take. I mean, they're basically looking right at us now and telling us to get lost, right? This is nothing to do with just getting in the door, right? They are now declaring themselves in support of even late-term abortion, right? I know what you're going to say. Melania's not on the ballot, man. This is irrelevant. Well, true, she's not, but wow. And maybe someone should tell Melania that she's not on the ballot because she seems to be working really hard now, cranking out commercials effectively for Kamala Harris and company to become our next president.
Donald is the first president to enter the White House supporting gay marriage.
It's not just Melania. We've gone over and over again the support that both president and the vice president now have expressed for the abortion pill, which is responsible for 64% of all abortions in this country. They are very much in favor of it. Trump again and again comes out and says even if a ban landed on his desk, he would not sign an abortion ban. He's adamant about that.
And as far as the abortion ban, no, I'm not in favor of abortion ban, but it doesn't matter.
And of course, the Catholic J.D. Vance.
You know, I grew up in a working class family in a neighborhood where I knew a lot of young women who had unplanned pregnancies and decided to terminate those pregnancies because they feel like they didn't have any other options. And, you know, I one of them is actually very dear to me. And I know she's watching tonight, and I love you. And she told me something a couple years ago that she felt like if she hadn't had that abortion, that it would have destroyed her life because she was in an abusive relationship.
So they people say, well, they got to say these things to get in. Well, first of all, I still don't believe that. I don't think this is going to work. That's why they just rolled Melania out. Okay, man, we really got to prove because the Democrats want this to be a single issue thing. It's all about baby killing. We have to prove we're just like that. Honey, Melania, I'm going to need you to go out there now and tell everybody you support late-term abortion, okay, because we got to win this thing. Okay, that's a massive scandal, friends. It's a massive scandal. So it's either true or it's so scandalous you can't justify it. If it's true, either way, what happens to us? What happens to the pro-life movement? And again, I don't believe it's going to win. I don't think this is a winning strategy. The polls still seem to suggest it's not a winning strategy. And even if it is, even if they do win, forcing all of us to become de facto Democrats in the process, Democrats certainly on the moral issues, which matter most to us, we all become Democrats. Is this a victory? Have you actually read the 2024 Republican Party platform? The 2016 platform mentions God 15 times. The 2024 Republican platform mentions him twice. The 2016 platform has 9 powerful statements in defense of the unborn. The 2024 platform removes virtually all of the 2016 pro-life language, including the explicit application of the 14th Amendment to the unborn. And then, goes on to positively mention birth control and IVF. The 2016 platform defines marriage as, wait for it, between one man and one woman. The 2024 platform drops any definition of marriage at all. This was leaked to me from a source very close to Donald Trump, who says that Trump favors abortion before 15 or 16 weeks even. Now that's 4 months. 4 months. And you certainly know that 80 to 90% of abortions take place within the first 4 months. He's saying he favors it then. That's where most of the abortions happen. And all they will ever talk about is this quite rare, hideous thing, partial birth abortion, right? Well, that's easy. Almost everybody's against it, even Democrats. Many Democrats are against that. So my source is part of this leak, he adds. Not only, this is going to be hard to hear. I'm sorry to break this to you. But a source that I trust very much tells me that not only does Trump not want to go near the pro-life issue ever again, but if elected, he's going to be the opposite of the pro-life president that we saw before. Possibly even, says my source, going to war with the pro-life movement. There will be, according to my source, a radical change, and he will ensure that the Republican Party is no longer a pro-life party. This is the nightmare that you and I have been discussing down here for the past couple of months. There will not be any pro-life party. Nothing. And my source adds that it is really important to get this information out right now, because it's not going to change unless they change before the election. Now, why is it important to get it out? Because according to my source, those who vote for Trump based on the good things he did for the pro-life movement in the past, the judges, Roe versus Wade, Dobbs, standing on the mall, he said these people who are voting, hoping that's going to happen again, they will, according to my source, be shocked to discover the extent to which Trump has been influenced to move away from the base, the pro-life base, that got him elected in 2016. It's a new day. It's not easy to say, it's not easy to hear, but that's it. You can choose to ignore that, but like I say, I'm not trying to tell anybody how to vote. And you don't have to listen to my source. You can make fun of me that I didn't identify. I can't name the source, obviously. And you can choose not to pay any attention to it. But I just want you to have your eyes open as to what's going on here, you know? And this is another point where I want to stop, hit the brakes, and once again say, let me be clear, please. Read my lips. How you vote is your business. It is none of my business. I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm not telling you can't vote for Donald Trump. I'm telling you what, if you tell me you're going to vote for Kamala Harris, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Nothing to do with you. So this whole thing, this is a whole gray area about the borders and the appointment of judges and law and order on the streets and law enforcement and the Second Amendment, all these things. Yes, of course, Trump is going to be much better on all of those things. So let's discuss that. And that's a beautiful thing about being where we are right now. We have time to discuss this. We have time to discuss it with each other, with our priests, and try to make up our decision here. But let's not deceive ourselves. Something is happening when it comes to the moral, spiritual issues in this party. It's happening right before our eyes. We can't be in denial. And for me, speaking for myself on this show, I get it. My numbers are down a little bit because people don't want to hear it. I totally understand that. People are afraid. They don't want to hear this. I get it. But I will not be silenced by the threat of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And besides, I think I can offer you a little bit of hope. My fight is going to go on. Our fight is going to go on, friends. Long after whatever happens on November 5th is over with, is history. I've been fighting, for example, personally, my family, my friends. We've been fighting the draconian policies of this nut job, Tim Walz, for years. Here in Minnesota. We know this guy personally. At one point, it got so bad, I actually had to go out and fight him in the streets at the Capitol for the right to celebrate Christmas with my family.
But we need to become, again, as we said in the past, the point of the spear, not just politically, but spiritually as well. Today's the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We're getting ready for the Christmas season. We have Christians here who are doing our best. We have Catholics, we have Protestants who are coming together, realizing there's a very Christophobic movement now in the world that wants to crush all those who believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And a great way of making this obvious is we are going to say to them, they are not going to come into our homes on Christmas and tell us how and with whom we can celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm really proud of the Minnesotans that we're willing to come together like this and remind all of the conservative people around the world, all the folks who are in the good fight, not to forget this is a spiritual war. This is a holy war as well. And I'm so proud that you're standing with us for the next hour. And then, as I said earlier, the idea is to demonstrate our willingness to stand in silent witness this time in defense of our civil liberties, in defense of our beliefs, our religion, and our fidelity to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you. God bless you. We'll check back in with you in 1 hour. Have a good rally, and we'll see you in an hour. God bless you. Thank you.
He locked us down. He closed our churches. The man's a maniac. He's ignorance and pride, right? He's a horrible little guy with a Napoleonic syndrome. You know, so please don't tell me that I haven't thought this through and I don't realize what's at stake and Harris and Walz are worse. Yes, of course they are. And I know that probably better than most of you because I live in Minnesota and I've been living under the regime for years. I know where they're going with this. These bloodthirsty baby killers. Marxist baby killers. China-supporting psychos. I get it. And you see all those cops in the video I just showed you? Cops that came out and encircled us that day for protesting what Walz was doing? We get it! Did you hear Tim Walz the other night during his debate with J.D. Vance complaining about those dangerous Minnesotans who'd protested him during COVID and who now, according to Tim, need to be silenced? Yes, I know what's coming. I know exactly what's coming. I know exactly what's at stake. And now I'm sitting here risking alienating even you, my friends and my allies who don't want to hear it. But we have to. We have to talk this out. We have to know what we're doing. Yes, vote your conscience. I know you will. But go into the voting booth with both eyes wide open, you know, as to what's really going on here. Because what's going on here is pretty darn scary, pretty terrifying. And it has ramifications we haven't even really explored too much yet. Israel is backing Trump, right? Trump's been backing Israel for a long time as well. Trump is promising to stamp out anti-Semitism on his first day in office. That's what he said. He didn't say he's going to stamp out Christophobia. He said he's going to stamp out anti-Semitism, which he defined as people who are protesting Israel's war in the Middle East. And now, even as we speak, other countries are being brought into that conflict. You know it. You can feel it. You can see it. Those who are old enough to remember, those of you who have studied World War II, what happens here, we're seeing this happening in the Middle East. At the same time, you have China and Russia coming together over in Europe. We're coming into what very easily could be another world war, only worse than ever before. This could very easily escalate. And how twisted and Luciferian is it that in the middle of all this global strife and war and rumors of war, what is at the center of it all? The betrayal of little babies, like little representatives of God in our midst. The betrayal and the slaughter of the little ones, right? And the one thing that could save us at this point would be our commitment to defending them, to defending life, which is just another way of saying our commitment to stand with God no matter what happens. And that's what we're talking about. Because it is terrifying. You bet it is. Terrifying as hell. I'm scared of what's to come, of course. Who wouldn't be? Only a fool wouldn't be apprehensive about what's happening in the world right now. I just saw the other day an FBI agent on the floor of a congressional hearing is out there telling the world, this is incredible, I don't know if you saw this, FBI whistleblower, he's out there telling everybody to pull out your beads, man, pull out your rosary, and start praying right now.
I would just say that I consider the hearing today my last act of service as a public servant for the United States of America. And I'll give you my professional opinion. I was an intel professional for our country for many years, and I would give recommendations, and I'd also look at indications and warnings. So I would offer this to the American people as my warning to them. Arm yourself and know how to defend yourself. Make 3 to 4 friends in your neighborhood and promise to come to each other's mutual aid in times of hardship. And during the Great Depression, people stocked up a pantry. So I think that's a good practice, especially in our economic times, and make sure you have 3 to 4 months of food. And as a person of faith, I'd say pray the rosary, go to the First Friday devotions. That's for everybody, all my brothers and sisters of all faiths, and I know I'm Catholic, and read the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and live it every day. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for the time.
You see, there's a way of voting our way out of this. I mean, this is chastisement stuff. This is the stuff that happens when man betrays God. We've seen it. We see it time and time again in Scripture. And God is always the most unforgiving, if you will, to the chosen people, to the good people, to his people who know better and betray him anyway. And that's the big concern I've got right now. I'm not really, God will deal with Kamala and Tim. But when we start making compromises where life is concerned, when we who know better began to stretch it just a little too much, I have a feeling that it's not going to go well with us when it comes to God. We know better. And that's why on this show, I'm not afraid to talk to you, because we're all in this together. And right now, you got FBI agents on the floor telling people, pray your rosary, man, because things are going to happen and it ain't going to end well. While that's happening in the real world, the biggest problem of all, and this is something, again, that we can all agree on, the big problem, the massive problem, the global problem in the world today is Pope Francis. He's over there in Rome talking about absolutely nothing, just stuff and nonsense. Everybody knows it's nonsense. Isn't that terrifying? I mean, when the monsters are attacking, the living dead are attacking us, and you look to your dad for protection, and he's just talking nonsense and spinning in circles and banging his head into a wall and messing around with a yo-yo and playing frisbee with the zombies, right? And you're just like, okay, we're totally alone. We're toast because we're alone. Dad's with them. He's nuts. They got to him. They're like vampires. They got to him. He's one of them. God help us. I don't blame Donald Trump for that. I don't blame Donald Trump for dropping the ball right now. I blame Francis, the successor of St. Peter, the vicar of Christ on earth. What's he doing right now? Well, who knows? Your guess is as good as mine. And then I blame the bishops, the other successors of the apostles in the Catholic Church. I blame them. What are they doing? Talking climate change still? Are you serious? Excellencies, when are you going to wake up? Well, most of them are doing that. A bunch of them are awake. I stand with those guys. Here's an example of one of them.
Yes, I think that as the example you mentioned, that two politicians, one is for, both are for abortion. I mean, both are for killing innocent children, for intrinsic evil. The one is maybe more in a more extensive manner, and the other in a less. But both are basically promoting an intrinsic evil, a horrible thing. And so we are witnessing when we have no more alternatives in political life to vote for a candidate who really respects natural law, at least, then we cannot collaborate in such a system. Then we are in some way in a new pagan society where we are Christians, a minority, and where we are called to be at least simple, clear witnesses of the truth, of our convictions. Of course, it's not everyone called to martyrdom, but at least I think it's a basic requirement to be a true Christian, the courage. Courage to witness the truth, even to the extent of some negative consequences in your life. But God will recompense it, even here on earth. And this was always the way which the Christians lived.
I mean, that's it, friends. Did you feel that? It's a true prince of the apostles. You don't have to agree with him on everything, right? But did you hear him trying to give you the principle that we all need to think about? Didn't it make sense? Isn't it kind of calming and quiet and beautiful and wonderful to think, wow, okay, there's clarity there. I wonder if I can live up to that. And that's it. Can we? Can I? I don't know. But we got to talk about it, right? To find out if we have the guts to act on it. We cannot, under any circumstances, friends, and I'll close on this, we cannot become them. We may have to suffer for what we believe. Nobody's looking forward to that. But we can never become them. Because that's how we win in the end. At the end of your life, God's not going to say, you know, how'd you vote? Did you vote good? He's going to say, did you keep the faith? Did you run the race? Did you fight the good fight? I said, that's it. St. Paul tells us that's what matters. Fighting the good fight. And that's what we're trying to do. No matter how you vote in November, now is the time for us to make our voices heard. You have the truth out there so people can look at that and say, that is true. Let's put some pressure on these guys. Let's not just fold up, right? Because we're not alone. People are waking up. I just interviewed Candace Owens and her husband, George Farmer. Now listen, I'll give you just a few minutes of that. Listen to the clarity in which this young, very influential guy, this young man, I think he's 34 years old, look at how clearly he sees the enemy.
What the other side has is a religion. Literally, it's become an evil religion. Would you care to comment?
What our society has done now is simply corrupt the vision of God that the church teaches into a new religion. And this is what has been done since before, you know, pagan times. I mean, this is the same thing. And if you look at what we have now, we have a liturgical calendar. You have Juneteenth. You have Pride Month. You have International Women's Day. You have all these nonsense celebrations of days and months, which is exactly the same as what the church used to give us. Every time you walk into a building which has a pride flag on it, you are walking into a temple of the new religion. This is what they want. And if you do not profess unbridled doctrinal allegiance to the new religion, you will be excommunicated because you must sign up to the dogmatic principles of that faith. Otherwise, you're out. And that is why the increasing purity test gets stricter and stricter. You must agree with this. You must agree with this. Anyone who questions the narrative will be kicked out of the church of woke.
Exactly right. Put a link down here to that entire interview, which is just fascinating to see how much these two are at war with the same people that were the same demons that we're fighting against. And again, they have the same attitude. We cannot and we will not become them. And it wasn't just lay people at the Catholic Identity Conference, by the way. The bishops, several of the bishops, the shepherds, they stood up. They stood with the sheep. And you know what they said? They said, hey, you know what? We're awake. We're with you. Here's a bishop from Nigeria who brought down the house by saying just that. I get it. We see it. And we're fighting back.
Homosexuality is simply not welcome in Africa because it is not open to life. And the African church and those who are outside of the church believe in Africa that God created man and woman in his own image and likeness. Male and female, he created them. We believe that that's the word of God. It is with this background of ideological battles that you can understand that Fiducia Supplicans was going to have a hard time in Africa.
Bottom line, friends, don't lose hope. You know, don't lose heart. The only thing that can take us down, the only evil that can take us out and destroy us is apostasy. The apostasy that comes with losing hope, losing faith, and losing charity, not only for God, but for each other. Got to stay together here, right? No matter what happens in November, that's not going to happen. We are not going to blow the clans apart over this. We're going to stay together. We all understand this is a tough moment. It's a scary time. It's a very difficult election. There's a lot of good reasons and good arguments on both sides, right? And the reality is the clans are uniting all over the world as we try to deal with this political problem, which is becoming increasingly difficult the more the church, the Catholic Church, and the Pope disappear from the conversation, from anything that matters. So we're all struggling with that. But many people now are ready to suffer, and that's the beautiful thing. They're ready to suffer for what we believe. They're ready to suffer for the unborn. They're ready to suffer for their family, for their God. So however you vote in November, my friends, I understand and I trust And I'm not judging you. I know you will follow your conscience, your well-formed Catholic conscience. I know you. We can all resolve to come out the other side ready to stand together, ready to fight harder than ever, no matter what happens. Whether you vote for Trump or not, we're all in this together. And with God, all things are possible. We will stay together. We will not back down. We will not surrender. We will stand together as children of light against the children of darkness, no matter what their party affiliation happens to be. That's it. God bless you all. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.